Well, I'm excited to be here, and I want to start off and say that I thank you, Steadfast Baptist Church. Thank you, Pastor Shelley, for your hospitality and for the invite here. When he called me like some months ago, and invited me here, I asked him, I said, what do you want me to preach? He said, just whatever makes you mad. So,
amen.
So we're going to be here for a while. But I am Pastor Fritz. I had a couple of people say, hey, we thought it was Pastor Perry here. So I honestly think they're trying to say all country preachers with beards look the same. So, but again, I'm delighted. Some of you guys I've met at different conferences and different events, but this is actually my first time being at Steadfast Baptist. There's a great spirit here. I've made mention of this so very often, of a lot of the churches that we fellowship with. I could just literally just sit down and be like, okay, I'm a church member here. So, because it's the same spirit, no matter what church that you go to. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and I think it's interesting that this sermon is literally, it literally could be a part 2 to Pastor Major's sermon. And so just continue to buckle up, and we're going to go through this. The title of my sermon is Your Agenda Versus Reality. Now look at verse number 16 in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. The Bible reads, it says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Look at verse number 15. "He that is spiritual judgeth all things, he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" It says, "But we have the mind of Christ." So how do we know what's right in this world? How do we make judgment? How are we to judge things? How do we know what God thinks? In our Christian lives, we could, sometimes say, man, I just wish I know what God thought about thus and so, or this subject, or that subject. Hey, the Bible tells us right here that we have the mind of Christ. And what is the mind of Christ? As Pastor Major pointed out, it's the truth. It is the Word of God. It is the King James Bible. With the mind of Christ, we can know what God thinks. We can know the consequences or the rewards to our actions. We can see the blessings and the cursings of disobedience and obedience in our lives, all from God's Word. In other words, the Bible gives us truth. It gives us reality. John chapter number 17, verse 17, the Bible reads, "Sanctify them through thy truth." It says, "Thy word is truth." So even if you don't acknowledge the truth, it's still the truth, isn't it? Regardless if you and I say, well, I don't agree with that, that doesn't change the fact that it is the truth. Let me give you an example. Gravity, okay? Huh? Gravity. Gravity's the truth, right? And I don't have anything to drop here, But, okay, here we go. I don't know. This is probably, very expensive. I don't know what it is. Okay. What's going to happen when I drop this? It's going to fall. That's gravity. That's the truth. I don't like that. I just wish it would float. Tough. Too bad. That's not true. Let me give you another example. Cauliflower doesn't taste like mashed potatoes. Okay? I don't care how much you want to believe that. It doesn't. Sorry, ladies. If you're want to do keto, you're not going to eat potatoes, period. Okay? Just deal with that truth. Because cauliflower does not taste like mashed potatoes. My wife fixed some cauliflower and mashed potatoes the other day, and she put them down, and I'm like, these potatoes, they look kind of funny. And she said, I'm not going to tell you what they are. I said, they're cauliflower and mashed potatoes, aren't they? She said, yes, but try them. They taste just like mashed potatoes. That's what everyone says that fixes those. And I felt so sorry. I was grieved in my heart that she put bacon bits on them. I'm like, that is such a waste of good bacon, right? So, hey, you can choose to believe the truth, and live in reality with an acknowledgement of the truth, whether you like it or not. Because let's be honest, in our Christian lives, because we all grow in our Christian lives, there have been times that things in this Bible don't line up with what we think or what we believe, right? And as Pastor Major pointed out, we have to change. We have to conform to what God's Word says, because God's Word is truth and God's Word is constant, okay? Or, here's the alternative. Live in fantasy land, devoid of reality. You know, and unfortunately, people, they like fantasy land, don't they? Huh? They like living on fantasy island, devoid of reality. And then they start developing agendas based in that fantasy world. What they want to happen, rather than what's going to happen. Hey, we know exactly what's going to happen, even if we don't like it. Hey, maybe we like our sin, but we know exactly what's going to happen. God's going to chastise us. God's going to punish us.
Right.
So we can know. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ here. So let me give you some agendas versus reality. Number one, fake, generic, apathetic, skim Christians. You know what a skim Christian is? You know what skim milk is? It's where you take milk and you pour a lot of water in it till it doesn't, it's not even milk anymore. You know what a skim Christian is? Where you take a Christian and you pour a lot of water on them till they're not even, they don't even taste like a Christian anymore. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. 2 Chronicles 19. Because here's the bad thing about it. Is unfortunately a lot, most of the occupants on Fantasy Island are Christians, aren't they? Huh? These Christians, these, oh, we got to make Jesus the Lord of our life, Christians, the repent of your sins. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. Those people, huh? Never read the Bible cover to cover. Hey, they've never even read the book of Jude cover to cover, right? They're like, hey, can we at least read one chapter? Come on now. Any Bible version goes, doesn't matter. That's what, you know, my sons, it's funny. They've been reading like a lot of NIV verses, King James verses, and talking about those. And you know, my son, Sam, that's with me here tonight, he said, do people not realize this, you know, that all these stark differences? I said, buddy, they just don't care. Unfortunately, people just don't care. They don't give a rip, okay? They don't care about Bible versions because they're watching Dancing with the Stars. They're binge. Hey, I'm serious. They're binge watching Netflix. They don't give a rip. Hey, did you know that the NIV, it attacks the deity of Christ? They're like, let's see what's on Fox News. Hey, let's see how the Cowboys are doing, right? That's all they care about. But yet they school you on what's godly, don't they? Huh? How to be a Christian, what God thinks. Anyway, the Bible says that I can judge things. The Bible says that I know truth. Why? Because I have the mind of Christ. We know exactly what God thinks about things because we have the Bible here.
Amen.
Yet they claim to know what God thinks, and they don't have the Bible, do they? Huh? They don't have the mind of Christ, do they? Hey, that would be like me, literally, like they're doing surgery, like open heart surgery, on a patient, and I'll just bust in the door. And I'm like, give me those tools. And I'm like, you know, scalpel, suction, you know? And I go over there, and I start, like, trying to work on this dude, like an open heart surgery. And the surgeon's like, what are you doing? I'm like, man, I watched ER back in the 90s, you know? Honestly, would that not be ludicrous?
Yeah.
I know, you know, and I know we all laugh, and it's kind of jovial, but is that not the truth? Is that not what these fake Christians that live on Fantasy Island are doing? When they try to school us on what the Bible says, when they try to school us on what the mind of Christ is, and they've never read the Bible, huh?
Yeah.
That would be, it's no difference than me trying to school that surgeon. Hey, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Oh, that's not the way they did it on ER, huh? They say love the sodomite, don't they, huh? We got to love them. Gotta love the child molester. They say that, don't they? Don't be hateful. Don't preach hate. Don't judge. What's their agenda? Because remember what we're talking about is their agenda versus what? Reality. What's their agenda? We want everyone to be more loving. Jesus was all about love. Love, 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 right? Here's their real agenda, pride.
Yeah.
So they can pat themselves on the back. Huh? Hey, where were the lovebirds today when we were out soul winning? Huh? All these loving people, where were they?
Right.
Pastor Shelley, we didn't pass anyone.
Right.
The only other people that we saw on the street that we are sitting right there. Where were they? Where are the lovebirds? All these loving people. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, when you're out hitting the streets, when it's hot, when it's cold, no matter what, if it's raining, because you love souls. Where are they at, huh? They're at the Cracker Barrel, aren't they? Huh? That's where they are. They're at the Cracker Barrel, huh? Eating Uncle Herschel's and tip and leaving the waitress a crappy tip. That's what they're, you know, most food workers hate working Sundays because of all the Christians. Where are they when all of us hateful people are out? Where are they? Huh? If they're so loving. They don't live in reality. Why? Because they don't have the mind of Christ. Now I'm going to read an email for you. This is from a girl. Her name's, well, it's Emily Abernathy now, but her name was Emily Farmer. And this is from ecfarmer1@gmail.com. You can get this DVD set and send her an email sometime in case you forgot that. This young lady went to my in-law's church, right? She's bled all kind of people in the church for her little mission trips where she goes and has playtime other places, you know. Pretty much she goes on vacation on someone else's dime, you know. But she's went there for you know, her whole life. Girl's probably 20, 22 now. This is an email that she sent to the Knox County Sheriff's Office, my previous employer. Let me read this for you. Subject, Detective Grayson Fritz hate speech. Okay? Now this girl goes to an SBC church, right? Comments. This is what she left. This is Detective Fritz, and she sent a YouTube link. Spewing hate speech about homosexuals and saying police should kill all homosexuals. Unacceptable, is what she said. Okay? So, and that's the thing, that email was what got the ball rolling. Was what got the ball rolling for everything. Which I don't give a I hated that job, okay? Thank you. I mean, I hated it. But hey, what was her agenda? Pat herself on her little righteous back.
Right.
Huh? So she could sit at Chick-fil-A and order the SBC combo with a large lemonade, huh? Wasn't that what she wanted to do, huh? Pat her little self on, you little righteous thing, you're stopping hate. That's what she wanted to do. What was her real agenda? Get me fired. That's what she wanted to accomplish, to get me fired and to feed her pride. Are you in 2 Chronicles 19? Did I have you turn there? Can we get some reality? Will that be okay?
Yeah.
Let's see what some reality is. Look at 2 Chronicles 19. Look at verse number 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore, what does he say to him? Is wrath upon thee from before the Lord.
Amen.
So there's some reality, Emily, huh? Your little agenda was to promote your pride. Your little agenda was to get me in trouble. Your little agenda was to defend a bunch of ungodly filth. And here's reality, Emily, because I have the mind of Christ, is that God's wrath is upon you, Emily.
Amen.
Huh? Because that's reality, because I have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Go to Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. That's reality, people. God's wrath is upon those that would help the ungodly and the folks that hate the Lord, which the Bible is very clear that people that are reprobate, that God has given over to a rejected mind, because God, time and time again, reached out to these people and they slapped his hand away. And the Bible said, hey, I have stretched forth my hand, but no man regarded. And it comes to a point that God cuts them off. God gives them over to their own heart's lust. God gives them over to their own desires. And God is done with them. My spirit will not always strive with man, the Bible says.
Right.
And he gives them over to that reprobate mind. But these Christians are siding with those that hate God. Let me give you some reality. Here's some more reality. Look at Philippians 1, verse number 14. It says, many of the brethren in the Lord, look at this, I love this verse, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see that?
Right.
Hey, big whoop. A 20-year career, boom, gone, big whoop. Hey, do you know how many believers were emboldened by the fact that I endured that persecution came out on the other side? You know how many people came up to me at Massa and said, hey, thank you, Pastor Fritz, for taking a stand. Hey, I feel bold to preach the gospel. I feel bold to take a stand. Because the Bible says right here that, hey, said many of the brethren in the Lord, they waxed confident in my bonds, and they're much more bold to speak the word of God without fear.
Right.
And if that cost me my job, that you can go and you can speak the word of God without fear, hey, nuts to that job, my job.
Amen.
That cost me my Dodge Charger. Ooh. Big deal. Go to Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. But hey, that's reality. That's not Emily's little fake reality. Luke chapter number 6. You know, Pastor Jimenez, he went to this passage when he preached. He asked me, he said, hey, can I ask you something? I think he looked at my notes. I don't think he was wanting anything, just to be honest with you. I think he's just wanting to look at my notes. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Pastor Patrick Boyle of Revival Baptist Church, he, you know, told me these words several times, these verses. These verses mean a lot. And I know they mean a lot to him. He's went through, you know, pray for him. He's went through a lot. Pastor Boyle, he's taking a stand. Look at Luke 6, verse number 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company. Say, hey, they fired me from my job. Hey, my family won't have anything to do with me anymore. My friends won't have anything to do with me anymore. What does the Bible say? Blessed are you when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. You know what's reality? Blessings for me. That's reality. So thanks, Emily. I appreciate it. You know, hey, you meant it for evil and God meant it for good. You're just trying to get me from a fire from a job I hated. You know? Gracias, amiga, right? So you're trying to get me fired from a job that I didn't even like. And guess what? God's wrath is upon you because you're siding with a bunch of faggots and freaks. So God's wrath is upon you and His blessing is upon me. Thank you so much. Because that's reality. That's the mind of Christ. Rewards for me. Thanks, Emily. This is just my formal thank you to her. Go to Genesis chapter number 15. Genesis chapter number 15. Genesis 15, verse number 13. It says, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with a great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. Pay attention to this phrase. It says, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Go to 1 Kings chapter number 14. But that's an interesting phrase. It jumps out at me every time I read that portion of Scripture. The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Obviously, we know that whenever, you know, Joshua finally led the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, they drove out the Amorites whenever they come and took possession of the promised land. Now, you're going to 1 Kings 14. Let me read for you 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. The Bible says, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Now look at 1 Kings 14, verse 24. The Bible says, and there was also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations, which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So there's this list of all these six sins that all of the nations that was occupying that land of Canaan, all of these nations were involved in these wicked, sick, disgusting sins. And the Bible says that they were abomination. And the Bible says that those sins, that because the nation was just immersed in that wickedness, that's why God cast them out and caused them to be destroyed. God said that the land would spew them out. Leviticus 18:25 says, the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Now, I read those verses because I picture a measuring cup, okay? I picture a measuring cup. That God has a measuring cup with the United States, an old measuring cup. Everybody's like, man, that thing's dirty. No, it's not dirty, it's old. that God has a measuring cup in heaven. And you know, it talks about that the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it talks about that the Jews, they're filling up their sins. So I picture just, you know, all of this wickedness and stuff, you know, going on in the nation of United States of America, that cup's just slowly just filling up. And when that cup hits the brim, what happened when the cup hit the brim? Well, the Amorites, huh? They were destroyed, weren't they? Huh? So you think about it. Here's some reality. These fake Christians that are standing against us, don't judge. Hey, love the homos. Hey, just help. Vote for Trump. Hey, vote for. Hey, they're helping fill that cup up. They're bringing God's. I'll end up kicking this over if I don't. Hey, they're bringing God's wrath and God's judgment upon this nation. They're helping that cup to fill up. And they're helping it to fill up quicker by their apathy. They're helping it to fill up quicker by allowing us to be silenced and actually supporting people shutting our YouTube down. Oh, they're preaching hate, so shut their YouTube down. Wrong. That's the wrong move. Because if nobody is standing and preaching the truth and proclaiming the truth and calling sin what it is, like Pastor Major said, the whole world is going to fall into darkness.
Right.
Hey, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, and if they start trying to chop down those pillars, what happens? Where's the truth? If the church crumbles, or you allow through your apathy the doors to shut on these churches, where are you going to get truth? Where? Go to Exodus chapter 32. So number one, what's their agenda versus reality? All of these fake, phony, watered-down Christians. And they're fake agendas that are not based in the Bible. Number two, what's another agenda that goes contrary to the Bible? I want to stay neutral. That's another one. Here's your agenda. I want to stay neutral. Here's what your real agenda is. I'm lazy. Or I'm scared. Or both. Here's some reality. Matthew 12, verse number 30. The Bible reads, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Now, where's the middle ground there? You're either gathering or you're scattering. So if you're not gathering, what are you doing? You're scattering. Jesus didn't leave any room for like an in-between, a gray area there. So the truth is, there is no neutral. Look at Exodus 32, verse number 26. It says, "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said," look what he said, "who is on the Lord's side?" Do you see that? "Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. So let me ask you a question. Who's on the Lord's side? What do we automatically deduce? That there's another side, right? If you have God's side, then there's another side that is in opposition to the side that God is standing on. Does everybody understand? So let me ask you a question. Do you think that you're on the same side as God when you're standing with a bunch of faggots?
No.
Huh? No. Yeah, I mean, really? I'm on God's side. I love fags. I mean, are you insane? Do you think that's God's side? Huh? Do you think that you're on God's side when you're promoting divorce and adultery and drunkenness and fornication and wickedness and immodesty? Do you think that's God's side?
No.
So let me tell you something. You know, all these people just want to make it about like us, the new IFB. No, like Pastor Major pointed out, it's not us you have a problem with. It's God's word you have a problem
right.
with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally, I could probably start up a YouTube channel and just read the Bible, and it would have thumbs down. Seriously. I mean, where I do just nothing, just stand there and read the Bible. I could even not even show my face, because, I mean, somebody might be like, "Man, that guy's ugly," you know, and give me a thumbs down. Just a blank screen. I mean, I could paint like a mountain, river, or something like that. Something pleasing to the eye, and just read the Bible. Thumbs down. But you know, hey, all these people that are against us, that stand up against us, that will stand, you know, with the reprobates, that will stand against, you know, these media outlets that attack us. I want you to think about this. If you're against us, you are against people that are actively trying to preach the gospel and get people saved. Because you know what our agenda is? Yes, it's to stand against wickedness. But our agenda, the biggest push is that we go out and we preach the gospel and we reach the world for Christ.
Amen.
That's our biggest goal.
Amen.
I don't know if it's Pastor Major or Pastor Shedd, the Great Commission. Hey, to preach the gospel, to get them baptized, and to teach them all things that Christ commanded. That's what we want to do as a church. But that's what you're standing against. You're standing against people that love the Bible, people that read their Bibles cover to cover, people that try to live a separated life, that try to unplug from the world, people that hate sin, people that love God, and people that want to know the truth, because that's who we are. And you're standing against that. Those are the people you're standing against. And you know what side you're taking? Sodomites. I want to take some of these Christians, or so-called Christians, all these people that would shoot me an email or a Facebook message or you know, mail me a letter. I had a hate wall for a little while. I took it down. It was just all these hateful letters. And it was the ones I could actually hang in public. I'd like to take all of the filth. And I know Pastor Thompson's gotten it. Pastor Shelley, Pastor Anderson. I know all of us. I would like to just take a collage of all of the filth. The filthy letters, the filthy pictures, just the stuff where they're saying. I mean, these people are saying like that the Lord Jesus Christ is a homo. They've sent messages like that. I'd like to take that, and I would like to grab one of these Christians, these, you know, so-called Christians. Oh, you got to love them. And I'd like to rub their nose in it like you would a puppy. You know what I mean? When he pee-pees. And say, do you see this filth? This is what you're standing against, for.
Yep.
That's the side of the street that you're standing on with all of this wickedness.
Yep.
But people need to realize, there's two sides. There's God's side. And if you're not on God's side, if you're standing with all these dogs, all these reprobates, hey, you're not on the side with God.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people are like, oh, you guys are in a cult, right? Well, we just don't like you guys because you guys are in a cult. You know, last time I checked, cults want people to stay. hey, we throw people out, don't we?
Yeah.
Right back there is the door. There's all kind of men with red coats in here that'll walk you to that door. But I used to think it's funny when I was on patrol, we would get a call for like a neighbor dispute. And, you know, we would go up and we would hear what they're talking about. You know, hey, so what's the problem? And they would tell us. And we're like, well, there's nothing we can do. And they were mad at their neighbor, mind you. And they're like, they sell drugs. You know, like at the end of it. You know, and I'm like, okay, did they sell drugs yesterday? Yeah. Did you call us yesterday? Well, no. Okay, then I'm not worried about them selling drugs today, okay? So I think it's funny, all these people that, like, leave us, they're like, oh, they're a cult, you know?
Yeah.
Were we a cult yesterday? You were good with it yesterday, right? But it's amazing the epiphany these people come through, you know, the timing, you know? The instant that Pastor Shelley preaches something they don't like or does something they don't like, oh, it's a cult! Yeah. But then and then they go like modalist right after that, don't they? That seems like you know. So be like, oh, let me just, I don't like what he did, so I'm just gonna go full retard, right? But I think it's funny, all these people are like, oh, you're an Andersonite. Maybe I'm a Majorite. Maybe I'm a Shellian. Right? Maybe I'm a Thompsonite. Why do I got to be an Andersonite? And honestly, here's what I'm trying to say. As long as these men are not perfect, I'm not perfect. You're looking for a perfect pastor, I don't know what to tell you. You know? Go to Antarctica and just hang out by yourself, I guess. I mean, I guess you're the only perfect person on earth, you know? Wait for Christ to come back. But hey, as long as these men here stand on the side of the Lord and on the Word of God and on the Bible, I will stand with them.
Amen.
And as long as you stand on the side of the Bible and the Word of God, I will stand with you. And I would expect the same from you all.
Right.
It's not a cult. Hey, I love this Bible. I love what this Bible teaches, and I just happen to like the guys that love it just as much as I do. I go to Isaiah chapter number 5. What's another agenda versus reality? Fake churches. Here's their agenda. We got to reach people and make disciples. Here's the real agenda. We got to get more money in the offering plate. Here's reality. They've compromised, haven't they? Churches have compromised. They've conformed to the world. I knocked the door. This guy comes to the door. He opens the door. The guy had long hair and a Nirvana t-shirt on. Anybody know who Nirvana is? Kurt Cobain. Guy killed himself in 1994. So he's got a Nirvana tee on and long hair. And I asked the guy, I said, hey, we're inviting you to church. And he's like, oh, well, I'm the pastor of Maker City. I call it Faker City. Maker City Baptist Church in Knoxville. I said, okay, well, cool. More important than being a pastor if you die today. 100% sure you go to heaven. So the guy gives me this answer, and I was confused. I mean, as a termite and a yo-yo, I was confused. I didn't know if I was supposed to repent or commit to repent. I had no idea what I was supposed to do. But the Bible said in Romans 12, verse number 2, because this is reality. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, don't be conformed to this world. So this pastor that comes, number one, his answer was garbage. The guy wasn't saved. And this is the pastor of a church. And he's got his Nirvana t-shirt and his long hair. I didn't write Romans 12, verse number 2 that said, don't be conformed to this world. Hey, I didn't write 1 Corinthians 11 that said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I didn't write those things. But those things are reality. The fact that he's a fake and a fraud is a reality. The fact that he's teaching a works-based salvation is reality. But unfortunately, churches have become a rock concert and motivational speakers, haven't they? And then you pay for the show. Probably get it at a pretty cut rate, nobody's really charging you. That's how they collect their fee for the motivational speech in the rock concert. The plate comes around, you throw the money in. Look at Isaiah 5, verse number 12. Isaiah 5, verse number 12. Because, there's still a few good Southern Baptist churches out there, but they're very few and far between. And unfortunately, we're having to say the same thing about independent Baptist churches, unfortunately. It's going to get worse. Do I know that?
Yeah.
It's going to get worse. Isaiah 5, verse number 12 says, and the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feasts. They have the music, don't they? They got the harps, they got the violins, they got the tabrets, the pipes. Look what it says, but they regard not the work of the Lord. So what's their agenda? Their agenda. What's reality? They don't regard the work of the Lord. Look what it says, verse number 13. Therefore, because of this, because they have all this music, their music program, their feasts, their dinners, their country club, it's like a country club, but they don't regard God's work. He says, therefore, my people are gone into captivity. You're wondering why there's so much bondage in churches nowadays. You go in churches, everybody's having problems. They're just like the world, aren't they? Just like the world. They have the same addictions as the world. They drink the same wine as the world. Why? Because their pastor's telling them, oh, just don't get drunk. You can drink, They're on prescription drugs, just like the world. They live exactly like the world. The only difference is that they go to that social event on Sundays. He says they're gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. They don't have the mind of Christ. They don't have truth. They don't have somebody getting up and screaming about alcohol, screaming about fornication, screaming about adultery, screaming about tithing, screaming about, guarding your finances, screaming about lust, screaming about pornography. They don't have anybody doing that. There is no knowledge. Your average church member and your average church has no knowledge. Keep reading. Look what it says. Their honorable men are famished. So there are good people in these churches that are starving to death. And these pastors get up and what do? A bunch of fluff. They don't feed them. Their honorable men are famished. They've gone into captivity. They're in sin. They're in bondage. Look what it says. Their multitude is dried up with thirst. That's why you walk into a church and literally it's like the air gets sucked out of the room. Huh? Like you take some fish and you just lay it out of water and the thing's just dying out there, just flopping, right? Therefore, look what it says, verse 14. Hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. This is reality. The fact that, you know, we see these churches, we're like, oh, it's a liberal, watered-down church. Yeah, but when these churches get liberal, these churches get watered down, the end result is hell is opening its mouth without measure because so many people are going to hell because they're not fulfilling the Great Commission, because they're not going out and preaching the gospel. All of these independent Baptist churches that used to go out and knock doors and preaching the gospel, and they're not doing that anymore, that area where they were at, hell is opening its mouth without measure. And their people are in captivity. There's no knowledge. They're famished. The whole church is dried up with thirst. That's reality. Look at Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. So number 1, talking about just different agendas versus reality of what the Bible says. Number 1, we talked about the fake Christians. Number 4, the Christian life doesn't happen by osmosis. Here's your agenda. Everybody sitting in here. I go to a New IFB church, so I'm going to be a good Christian because I go there. Here's what a lot of people's real agenda is. You're prideful. You want to look down your nose, but you're not going to fix anything that you need to. You're not going to listen to the preaching. Look at Mark 4, verse number 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, let me tell you something. If you don't grow roots at Steadfast Baptist Church, if you don't listen to Pastor Shelley's preaching, if you don't listen to the Word of God and make application in your life, it doesn't matter if you go to a New IFB church. Do you understand that? It's not going to happen by osmosis at all. It's not going to happen to be like, I'm here and I just, my life's just better just by being here. You have to actually apply what is preached from behind this pulpit. You know, this man and Pastor Thompson and Pastor Major and myself, you know, we spend hours and hours studying to try to feed and try to make your lives better. But so many people, they hear the preaching and they heed the preaching. They don't. Then I'm telling you, if you don't heed the preaching and you don't listen to what's being preached and you don't listen to the Word of God and apply it to your life, it doesn't matter where you go to church. None of that matters. You have to have humility in your Christian life, and always, whenever you hear the Bible preached, say, hey, how can I apply that to my life that I can be a better Christian? Because if you don't grow, the Bible says that we're all start out as babes in Christ. What do babies do when they cry and they leave, right? You'll be a baby. Something will hit. Pastor Shelley will preach something and it'll offend you. And you'll take your rattler and you'll leave. Because you're a baby. Because you won't grow roots. Because you won't listen to the Word of God and apply some of the preaching in your life. Now go to Hosea chapter number 6. Hosea chapter number 6. I'm sorry, go to Hosea chapter, what is that? Go to chapter 4. Yeah, go to Hosea chapter number 4. Hosea 4, verse number 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord had a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field and the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another. For thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I'm telling you, we need to wake up as Christians. honestly. You say, what's the point of the sermon? I'm here at Steadfast Baptist Church. I'm here at Fire Breathing Preaching. I love the truth. Here's the point. If your opinion goes contrary to what the Bible says, hey, you need to go with the Bible. We need to base our agendas, what we believe is going to happen, what we know is going to happen, and all of our opinions need to be shaped and formed by this book, by everything within the Bible. Because you don't want to live on Fantasy Island. You want to live in reality. And the only way that you're going to live in reality, that you're going to live in truth, is to get in God's Word. You can be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because so many people, and I believe that there's actually saved people that wrote me. I believe that there's saved people that have sided with the sodomites. That doesn't mean God's wrath's not on them. But I really believe that. Why? Because they're brainwashed. Why? Because they don't have any knowledge. Why? Because they hear that filth and garbage pumped in their mind every single day. Why? Because they wake up and they turn on the television and they listen to the television and they drink while they drink their coffee and they read the morning paper and then they get in their car and they listen to the radio and then they go to work and they hear all the rhetoric at work and then they head home and they listen to the radio and then they get home and they turn on the TV and they eat supper day in and day out they're being lied to and they don't have truth. And then they go to church and what do they hear? Lies. Same garbage. So they don't know the mind of Christ. Hey, we know the mind of Christ. But it's time for Christians to wake up and get out of fantasy land, get in the Bible, and hey, you need to grow some roots here at this church. You need to grow roots. You need, you know, always be at a point in your Christian life where you self-reflect. There's not a person in here that's perfect. Not even close, okay? I'm probably further down the imperfection row than a lot of you guys are, right? Nobody's in here is perfect. So always take a step back and say, hey, where can I improve? Hey, how can Pastor Shelley's sermon help me? Hey, how can Pastor Thompson's sermon help me? What can I use? How can I grow with that? Don't get stagnant. Don't just say, well, I didn't like that, you know, so I'm going to develop my own agenda. Don't be stiff-necked when you hear the preaching. Hey, grow some roots and read the Bible. The Bible says that you should read all the words there in all the days of thy life, every day. That's the problem with Christianity today. They don't read enough, do they? So I'm telling you, we live in Fantasy Island, people. I mean, it's like the Twilight Zone, isn't it? It really is. When all of that stuff happened to me, I mean, it's like crickets. You know, like Pastor Shelley said, nobody stood with me. Except for you guys. Seriously, nobody. All that junk hit June 12th this past year, 2019, and that was on a Wednesday. Thursday, I was at Massa. And you know how refreshing it was that all these people just walked up and they're like, God bless you, Pastor Fritz. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. You know how refreshing that was? Guess what? Back home, not a person called. Nobody. No one. But hey, I appreciate Emily doing that. It exposed all the frauds in my life. Hey, cut the fat. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya, right? Bye. I mean, seriously. Cut all the fakes and the phonies out of my life. Because as far as my area, I'm so infamous. I know 100% somebody's legit if they have anything to do with me now. I mean, that's, let's say that you had like, you know, you were like radioactive or something, you know, and then you had like a family member come over and like take it. You're like, man, I know you love me. You got exposed, right? But it's funny, I've purchased some things, went to like local stores and purchased things, and people are like, hey, would you mind filling out a review for us online? I'm like, how about I don't? Because you actually provided me good service, so I don't want to do that to your business. Because if I fill out a good thing, you'll have like picketers out here, you know? But no, we need to get our head in reality, okay? And that's the thing. You know, I didn't preach what the Bible says. I didn't think, hey, you know what would get me on the news? You know, I'm a cop. We didn't like being on the news, you know? What could get me on the news? Let me just think. Let me come up with something. Oh, I opened the Bible, and I went to Leviticus chapter number 20, and I read verse 13, and I expounded on it. I mean, that's all it took, okay? But hey, we need to just, that, because that's reality, because that's truth, because that's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Okay? And it's not just that. You know, I've had so many people be like, oh, what about adultery? What about, you know, shellfish? You know what I mean? All these bozos, they'll send me messages. They're like, is that a mixed fabric tie you're wearing? You're like, what? Well, it looks like a, you know, poly cotton blend suit. I don't know what it is, you know? I wanted to say, you know, one picture they commented on, I wanted to say, I don't know what it is, but your taxpayers pay for that suit. So how about that? That mixed fabric suit. Poor old shellfish, though. We need to get rid of that fish. It's gone bad a long time ago. You know, everybody keeps bringing up the old shellfish, the tired old shellfish. But again, why do they do that? Ignorant. Why do they do that? They don't have the mind of Christ. That's why they do that. They have no clue what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And it's no different than me walking into that emergency room and just taking the instruments from that surgeon because I watched an episode of ER back in the 90s.
Right.
And for the record, I never watched that show. So, I watched MASH. Right? Some of you guys are like, what's MASH? You know? The older crowd, they're like, I remember that. But anyway, but no, hey, get some truth, okay? You know, the Christian life's hard, folks. It's hard. And, you know, you have the flesh, you have the world, and it's going to get worse. You got to get serious. You got to get in this Word. You got to listen to what Pastor Shelley says. You got to listen to the Word. You got to love, you know, oh, how love I love thy law, said it is my meditation all the day. You got to love this book. But because here's the thing, we're not at a point in history where mediocrity is going to cut it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we're not. If you take just this half-hearted approach to Christianity, bye.
Yeah.
See ya. We might run into you at the gas station, but you won't be in church in 10 years serving God. You have to be on fire.
Yeah.
Talk about this as the fire-breathing preaching. Hey, we need some fire-breathing church members.
Amen.
Fire-breathing soul winners.
Yeah.
And, because, you know, here's the thing. Like Pastor Major is talking about turning all the lights off and all that. If I turn every single light off in here, in this whole entire building, and I just passed out like four flashlights, right? And you started shining them, and they're like super dim. It's not really going to help us a whole lot. Hey, lights are going out all over the place. It's getting darker and darker and darker on this world. We need to do a better job. Hey, we need to put like some supercharged batteries in our flashlights. We need to be the light of the world because the lights that were there 20 years ago, they're not here now. There's a lot less light. So we need to shine brighter. Hey, talking about John the Baptist, he said he was a burning and a shining light. You need to be burning. You need to be shining. Brighter than you did yesterday. Brighter than you did last year. I mean, but there's not any room anymore for apathy. There's not any more room for fear. There's not any more room for you to just stand neutral. There is no neutral. You're scattering. You need to shine the light. You need to be on fire for God.
Amen.
Because, I mean, it's getting worse. I never thought in a million years. You know, I was telling Pastor Shelley, they've been having like these drag queen shows in Knoxville in restaurants. Who would want to sit there and eat and watch that filth? You know, what, do they hand you a bucket? Here's your bucket to puke in. Hey, we're fixing to bring this. You know, the only thing that I would be like, yeah, I'll go there, is if whenever the tranny walked out, you could throw rocks at him.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah. Hey, you know how like at Texas Roadhouse they give you a bucket of peanuts? Hey, bring me a bucket of rocks.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, bow! I'm cracking peanuts. Bow!
Yeah.
Amen, right?
Amen.
We're not vigilantes. You know, the ladies, you're saying the police going to execute. Hey, when they do the death penalty, newsflash, that's not execution. That's called justice. Okay? You know, did they execute Ted Bundy? No, they put him to death. They punished him, idiot. Execute. But everybody that ran a news article on me, execution, execution. See how they use those words? Bunch of liars, okay? They have an agenda, don't they, huh? And we definitely know that that's not in reality, the news.
All right.
Again, hey, take this Christian life serious. Take heed unto thyself. Each and every day, take heed to yourself. Love your pastor. Love your church. Love your church members. Love the Bible. Love soul winning. Love God. Love His commandments. Love truth. You have to, and you have to do it with all thy might.
Amen.
In this dark and this crooked and perverse nation. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we love you, Lord. God, we ask for your help, Lord, and your protection upon us, Lord. God, help us to be more zealous in our lives, Lord. God, help us to be real, true Christians, Lord, not just people that show up at the church, God, and go through the motions, God. Help us to have a fire burning in our bones like Jeremiah, Lord. God, that we would never quit, Lord. God, things are going to get worse. Father, so we pray that you would just continue to strengthen us in our lives, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.